I'm done with the new music.
Hip hoppy wop hop.
Made of fail.
We were unpopular before it was cool.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist. It makes sense now.
Yeah, it's all falling into place. Of course, that place is nowhere near this place.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome yet again to Made of Fail. I'm Kevin.
I'm Dana.
And we have with us a very, very interesting show that we're going to be doing. This is the first show of the new year. And we've been looking forward to it a lot. I mean, it's been quite an interesting ride. And we actually have somebody to share it with us that is, quite frankly, awesome and
completely insane.
I want you all to give a warm welcome to the guy who dropped $500 on Emily's eyes just so he could be on our show, George.
What up, Made of Failers? Is everybody ready to make some fail?
Hello, Cleveland!
Good night, Springton. There will be no encore.
All right. Well, I think
you have like a controlling share of stock in Emily's eye.
Yes, you own a full 16th of her vision.
Whenever her eyes have to make like business decisions, you're there.
Hopefully, they'll make better decisions than I would. So.
Well, how have you been, man? And I know you've been really looking forward to joining us for some reason.
I have. Let me explain a little bit how I found Made of Fail, because it's not really an interesting story at all. I put the shot glass down. I found you through Linkara.
Awesome.
Thank you, Lewis.
Episode 12, Buckets of Explosions.
Oh, and that was an awesome show.
And
you stuck around?
That was an awesome show. I had to find out what else I was missing. And then there was the epic D&D session.
Oh, gosh.
Brought back so many.
Never living that down.
No, you're not.
So many great memories of, for the first time, I've seen other people play role-playing games.
I've gotten better.
That was a really good start. I mean, you had you had the gist of everything, what you needed to do. You were asking the right questions. You were thinking outside the box.
Exactly.
Just because you asked the wrong question didn't mean that you were doing it wrong.
George, later on after the show, I'll give you the URL to our weekly live stream where we all play D&D in my regular group.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Or we can give that in our show notes and have everybody join.
I'll put it in the show notes because I don't have it memorized. It's a Ustream thing. It's kind of long. But it is Wednesdays from, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. or slightly thereafter Central Time.
And whose idea was that, by the way?
To stream it?
To do the game.
Oh, to do the game?
Because you haven't talked about this game on the show so far.
Yeah, because it's not really a show thing.
Yeah.
Basically, we were all watching Spoonies, from that guy with the glasses, his stream. And Rolo T from Channel Awesome was in there, and he was like, wow, this really makes me want to, like, you know, teach people how to play Dungeons & Dragons, and if you're interested, email me at, you know, blah, 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 at channelawesome.com. So he got about 3 or 4 dozen responses. He picked his own group, never did anything with it. And then he's like, the people who were still interested are these people. Here are all your emails. Get together or something. So we're the runoff. And we're the only ones who are actually doing anything with it. I started up a wiki not that long ago. You can't see it. It's horrible. Our DM, Sean, is absolutely fantastic. He's been making just this fantastic storyline for us. My paladin is kicking ass. I have learned how to play a defender.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a barbarian who is played by Sonic Gav, if any of you watch Spoonies, or not Spoonies, but Lord Cat's Wormwick campaign over on live.lordcat.com. He plays John Day, the fighter. And we had him first. Mr. Fancy British McSexy voice gets to go play with the big dogs.
Yes, he is a what TV Tropes would call an ascended fan.
And so are you, because now you're on the show.
That's true, so am I. I haven't become a ball of light yet. I'm still working on that one.
No, I'll just go ahead and talk to Daniel Jackson. You'll get that figure out.
Maybe you should have a light lunch. No? No? I'm shutting up.
Moving on. So tell us a little bit about what you do. What is your preferred fandom on the internet? What do you like hanging out and doing?
Preferred fandom? I don't really have a preferred anymore. When I first got on the internet, back in the heyday of, 99, before there was an aught, it was all about Star Wars. Everybody was excited for Episode 1. And then it came out.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the description you need there.
But since then, I've been moving around. I like Made of Fail, especially because it's pretty much a potpourri or a cornucopia or whatever,
are a veritable cornucopia of various geekiness.
Yeah.
Cornpourri, if you will. That was an interesting little portmanteau there.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm having girl emotions. I'm blushing. What is this? Strange feeling.
Despite what people say, Dana, you are actually a girl.
That's what those are for.
All right, well, speaking of, this isn't entirely news, because everybody who follows the show probably knows this already, but I'm just going to go ahead and discuss this, because I'm sure there's probably some questions now.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is coming back to TV.
Exactly. I mean, this is so excited about that.
Kev, you had an interesting New Year's, I hear.
I had an interesting New Year's. New Year's Eve is my father's birthday. And so my family and I, we all went out to a nice steakhouse. We dressed up like to the nines. It was, or to the eights. I just wore a shlubby suit.
And higher.
Yes.
One louder.
And so we got back from the restaurant, and I got a call from Trekkie Girl, who needed me to head out and spend some time with her. And while I was out there, she... I can tell them why? Okay. She had a massive anxiety attack, and she needed me to take her to the treatment center. Because everybody else was out at a party, and I had offered, and I went right over, picked her up, took her to the treatment center while she was in the waiting room, the exam room, rather. And I was standing there in my suit, tie and everything, which, good luck ever getting me to wear a tie again. I mean, there's three reasons for me to wear a tie.
You're and, gonna come up on one.
Yep.
And she's just sitting in partially a one of those paper gowns and the rest of it, whatever clothes she had tossed on at the time when she needed to go out. And she asked me to marry her.
I made that noise.
Yes.
Then I made the noise. You told me on Twitter!
I was busy taking people to the hospital. I think there's a little bit of extenuating
you
circumstances there.
Until you got home!
Well, actually, I was going to make a whole big announcement right then, but then I had to go out and take people to the hospital in an emergency again, so there we go. I'm sorry that my marriage, impending marriage, does not revolve around you, Dana.
Well, it... Okay, fine, I'll let you
know. You're going to Michael Scott me.
You know why? Only because I know the pain of wedding planning, my friend, and I'm just going to sit back and watch it happen.
So all 400 of you that are listening right now, I'm getting married.
In 2012, so the Mayans were right.
Thank you.
No problem. I do love you very much. And thank you for asking me to be best man.
Yes, that's the other thing. I mean, we're currently thinking of keeping it very small, family only. But I have asked Dana to be my best man, and then also I'm going to have Tessa and my little sister, cheer sister, as groomswomen.
And so, as it stands, we're probably not going to make this a made-a-fail thing. This is private.
But pictures will be available afterwards, obviously. I mean, it'll be right around, what, our 55th episode?
Oh my...
So,
I plan on quitting in a huff then.
Rage quitting? Thank you. Leave me to do this all by myself, okay? Look. You know how hard it is to pug, you know, three more guests when I'm sitting there by myself? I don't think so.
Pug?
Warcraft speak.
I don't speak crap.
Yeah, you're kind of on your own there, Kevin.
And yet, you have three different versions of Ice Ice Baby. I didn't even know there were
Kevin,
three different versions of Ice
Kevin,
Ice Baby. Thank you.
Four.
You got another one, a new one, since I've seen your music last.
No, I have a remix, I have the original, I have Too Cold, and...
Too Cold is not Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's a different
song.
Yeah,
it's just Vanilla Ice shouting Ice Ice Baby.
It's Vanilla
Ice.
Was
that when he went into that...
Too Cold, like, to Hold?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Is that the new metal
heavy
version?
Heavy metal. Oh.
The new metal?
Yeah, and it was awesome. You can't say shit about it.
Okay, we need to work on redefining what awesome means on the internet, because...
Thank you!
Anything that I say is awesome.
Yeah, just keep telling yourself, Dana. Maybe one day you'll believe you.
I do. Evie likes me. Oh, speaking of...
Yes.
Fail has projects.
Yes, we are actually starting to expand the title. Made of Fail is now a conglomerated Made of Fail Productions. And we have not only our flagship podcast, which is this one right now that you're listening to.
Ooh, can I drive the flagship?
No.
Can we have Wesley Crusher drive it?
No.
Why don't you love me anymore?
Because you touch yourself at night.
Yeah, but the fans like that. Moving on.
I certainly can't get enough.
We'll talk later.
Moving on. So we have our flagship podcast, which is this you're listening to right now. We have our written projects, which we're already Deconstructing Moya, that I'm doing with Noel, Adam, and Weston.
That would be our escape rewatch.
Mm-hmm. Then we have the straight guy reviews of bad romance novels, which I picked up.
How's that going?
I am learning things I never knew existed. But that's...
Sometimes men belong in arboretums, apparently.
Yes, it's definitely interesting. I've been doing section by section, because I can't stand to read this thing all at once. A review of The Very Virile Viking by Sandra Hill, picked out for me for this project by Trekkie Girl herself. She even paid $30 to Emily's iAuction to be able to pick this book for me. So this is all for charity.
But I need to ask a very important question that I'm sure everybody's just dying to know, Kevin.
All right.
Now, you were very unclear. Is that guy a tree?
You know, I think he's a tree. He might be a tree.
I'm sure Sandra Hill was trying to come up with another descriptor and just ended up being stumped.
You know, she was just, you know, barking up the wrong direction at this point.
She really needed to branch out in other metaphors.
Yeah, but then she'd be hung out on a limb if she ran out.
Let's just leave it alone for now.
All right, poor saps. Well, we can go on.
Yeah, I know. But I
please don't.
I need to get to church.
Can't keep up. The fail is falling.
Yeah. What's the title of our show? Thanks.
Yeah.
We gave birth to another podcast.
Yes.
It doesn't look a thing like you, Kevin. That doesn't mean anything. We're gonna have to go on Maury about this.
That's right. Noel and our listener Evie have banded together and started doing I Hate/Love Remakes, a podcast which completely exists to piss Dana off.
It's pretty much what it says on the tin. They pick a movie and its remake. I went on there for the first episode and was just amazed at the breadth of Noel's knowledge of movies. That's his hobby.
That's his hobby. That's what he does with his spare time.
And we had some incredibly intelligent discussion about Psycho and its remake.
It was very awesome, very well done, and
Noel broke me in 10 seconds.
Which is
10 seconds.
2 seconds faster than he broke you the last time he was on our show.
He's making records, man.
Left yeah. So that is our second podcast in the Made to Fail Productions family.
Listen to it. Episode 2 should be coming out shortly. I am not on it. I was just there to, you know, bring everybody in, and, you know, everybody will leave once I'm not on it.
And that's it. I hate loveremakes.com, and we'll link that in the show notes. And it's permanently linked on the sidebar under the Made to Fail Projects section on the website.
You mean madeofail.net? Which
that would be correct.
Pimp out like every single fucking time we've been doing the show.
We're going to need to do like a professional end cap. Like, Noel out-professionaled us on his first show.
Well, that's okay, because you're you.
Thank you.
I love you.
You can do this by yourself, right?
I was going to next month, if you recall.
Mister, anyway.
I need a vacation. Mister, I've been working too hard.
Mr. Vibe, I've only done 38 episodes of a podcast in a row.
Yeah, look at you. You take off episodes whenever you want. Oh, I don't like Harry Potter. Oh, there's a huge hurricane about to kill me. Oh, look at that. Cry, cry, cry.
Remember what happened last time you gave me free reign over an episode? I believe 16. Does anybody remember that? There's reasons for that. Nobody remembers that one because it sucked. But, I don't want to give away who. There's going to be somebody very special on next month, and I think he'll make up for Kevin.
Also, Tessa will be there.
Yeah, but nobody cares about her. I mean, I really love you, Tessa. That was mean. It was one thing if it was Adam, but it was mean. I'm sorry, Tessa.
Oh, man. So,
speaking of things that, you know, we love and we hate, I think we have a topic.
Yeah, when we auctioned off this month's episode, which you won handily, one of the stipulations was that you got to pick the discussion topic for the entire episode. So why don't you go ahead and let us know what that discussion topic is?
Well, I was waffling through a couple of ideas, but I think the one that the listeners would most want to hear, the things we like and sometimes dislike that go against the grain of geek culture or internet culture as a whole.
Which is actually a really fantastic topic because not a lot of people talk about this these days. People are usually too afraid to go against the grain. I mean, even in this kind of a situation, because, I mean, you have an opinion and people have very distinct opinion, and to go against that risks having people lose respect for you, and a lot of what geekdom is shared respect and shared knowledge of something that is big and with the other geeks.
Joke's on you guys. Nobody respects me anyway.
And yet we love you anyway.
Yes.
So, George, as our man of honor here, why don't you start us off?
Okay, well, let's start us off with something that I find is one of the more maligned topics on the internet.
If you say Jar Jar Binks, you're fired.
No, Jar Jar Binks can go die in a fire. and so can the Ewoks. Little furry...
Do you know you can go to Endor and, like, Force Lightning them and Force Unleashed, too?
I gave up on Star Wars a long time ago. it ate my last bit of hope. Curse you, George Lucas.
Perhaps there can be a new hope.
God damn it, Dana, you beat me to it.
All right, keep going. I'm shut up now.
Okay. But speaking of force lightning, it does involve the use of lightning, specifically saying it over and over again, such as lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt.
Are you a LARPer, George?
I was for many years. I'm not anymore, but I had so much fun.
Oh, that is awesome.
At least you weren't a vampire who lived in a tree.
How is Russell these days?
I love my husband very much. Continue. Tell us about your LARPing experience.
Well, LARPing, live-action role-playing, for those who don't know, is essentially a giant group activity of getting together with a bunch of like-minded geeks and having fun by reenacting or experiencing a story. Usually well thought out, with some people to help play the non-player characters.
Do they run around in shirts that say NPC?
No, but if you find some good ones, you'll... If you're good, you can find some good ones with white shirts with GM and scorekeeper on them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, LARPing, to me, is one of probably the funnest things I ever did. It's also the reason that, you know, my mom and my stepdad have been married for 20-odd years now.
I want to hear this story.
They met at a LARP.
That is
not
awesome.
Much of a story.
That is still awesome, though. I mean, that's pretty great.
yeah. I mean, without LARPing, I would not have gotten into any kind of role-playing games. I kind of stumbled ass backwards into that whole culture.
You went from like the lower end to the higher end.
Yeah, and I still haven't played D&D.
You know,
that's
you
okay.
Gasp in
like
horror.
That.
Yeah, I was going to say, you gasp in horror, but even that one episode
I
that we did...
I was just yanking his dice. Chill out.
And you said, oh no, this is just going to be one time. This is just going to be one time. I hate it,
level
I hate it, I hate
it. Level 9 human paladin, bitches.
Thank you. Which just goes to show, even if you don't think very much of something, at least give it a chance, and that way you know that you don't like it, instead of just assuming you don't like it based on what you thought about it.
I'd love to, but it's LARPing.
And
I'll
that's exactly the problem.
All right, so take somebody like me. How do you fight prejudice against LARPers? Because that's a big thing in the geek community. That's kind of looked down upon, like just a shade above furries.
Yes, and here's how I put it to somebody who may look down upon it. I quote the words that I've held in my heart since I first read them a few years ago. The words from Wes Janson. You cannot look dignified if you're having fun.
Yub yub. Yub yub, Commander.
What the fuck, Kevin?
Star Wars reference.
I know exactly where he's pulling that from, and that is I live my life by that as well. Okay, let me go ahead and give a little bit of explanation here. The X-Wing series of the novels of the Star Wars books, expanded universe are, in my opinion, just overall some of the better written ones, especially because they really get down into the for lack of a better term, the humanist aspects of the universe, a lot of the more realism and of the relationships and
so the non-midichlorian version.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And there's very few, if any, Jedi at all. And it's all about, you know, the grunts of the world and the Wedge Antilles and everybody. And Michael Stackpole's a wonderful writer, even if he does have purple prose all the time. And Aaron Alston picked up halfway through when the first X-Wing series was finished and started with a new bunch of people, and he made it infinitely funnier and really fleshed out the characters of Wes and Hobby. And there's a throughout one of the books. Is this an Iron Fist?
It would be Solo Command.
It was in Solo Command, where there's a running gag throughout the entire book about an Ewok pilot. It was just a running joke that Wes throws to Wedge and said, "Okay, the next pilot coming in is an Ewok." And this is actually a joke that started way back in the first one, Wraith Squadron, and it's been a brick joke for the entire series. And so the next pilot's coming in, Ewok, you know, straight face and just constantly ragging on Wedge the entire time. And finally, Wedge gets his own. Or Wedge gets his own against Wes, and
it involves
the entire crew of the entire battle cruiser. Wes Jansen ends up naked with a stuffed Ewok held protectively in front of him, in front of the entire squadron.
Covered in Ewok chow.
Yes, covered in pet food.
That happened to me in college.
But the watchword of Wes Jansen is, you can't look dignified when you're having fun. Because if you say, no, you can't do this because I'd look stupid, you're missing out on something fun. You can't look dignified when you're having fun, so you may as well just buck up and enjoy it.
Sort of like when I convinced Carl to actually, like, play D&D with us. Like, Carl, he's like, D&D's gay and it's stupid. And I'm like, you were a vampire. He's like, well, yeah, but fine. You know, just adorable. Although I do have I think as far as I've gone is my roommate Carrie has some foam weapons hanging on the, just some Nerf stuff, and we like to go out, you know, beat the shit out of each other once.
Let's go boffer. There you go.
Is it? the only reason I thought it was cool when I was 12 is because I was hitting adults with foam padded weapons and
with no repercussions.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, as long as I didn't hit him in the head or in the balls.
Yeah.
But
this thing's fucking hurt though. I accidentally like smacked. Oh man, I got my hand smacked by an axe.
Ooh.
That'll sting.
Yeah. Try to find the people who use fiberglass instead of PVC. That won't.
That's like Nerf shit, dude.
Yeah, Nerf hurts. People don't realize that.
Wait, how does Nerf hurt?
It's you hit somebody with it hard enough.
Are you actually hitting them with the plastic gun?
No, like an axe. George, I am a delicate flower.
It's true. She'll fall apart at like a moment's notice. She's held together with like spit and wishes.
Yeah, we ran out of duct tape.
Yeah.
Oof. Have you tried pixie dust?
She's the Millennium Falcon of humans, all right? Look.
She may not look like much, kid, but she's got it where it counts.
Moving on.
All right.
So yeah, sorry to hijack your thing there.
I fully expected thread drift. That's not a problem.
So you LARP. And that's the thing that you like that that other people don't.
Oh yes. it has very bad connotations for people who don't really understand why people would do it. And it's the same reason that there's cosplaying, that's the same reason that there's community theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason that there's movies. You know, sometimes you just got to go out and not be yourself for a little bit.
Just have fun.
Yes.
I think that might actually be a barrier because you were mentioning, you know, cosplay and
right. Yes.
A lot of times when I'm playing D&D, you know, once or twice I've managed to be in character, but I always feel kind of silly. It feels like I'm not a very good actress. And it's hard for me to sort of get into the mindset of another person because I think we can all agree my personality is just a titch overwhelming.
Which surprises me because you're a fantastic writer.
Yeah, but I haven't really done that for a while. I'm more good with just, you know, coming up with ideas. And I think I've really found my calling in PR when I pimp out the show or whatever. But it feels weird to me when I have to actually, you know, play Talia and you know, have to be all noble and shit like that. Ironically, for my alt character, I built an Ardent, and I made her a prostitute. And my DM hated that. But I roleplayed her really well, and I don't know what that says about me.
That you're good at PR.
I'm really good at PR. But yeah, I think the negative connotations with LARPing just come from people who can't
it comes from
quite
your own insecurities.
Themselves. Yeah, can't quite get over the this feels silly. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to work on that, you know, in my campaign I'm trying to RP a little bit better. I did something really good last week, but it just doesn't feel right to me. You know what I mean? It just feels weird. And eventually, mm-hmm. it's a kind of shyness, insecurity thing. Or, you know, people don't like to go out and deliberately make themselves look or feel silly.
Except for the people that do.
Yeah.
Except for the people who do. But I think that's probably why people look down on cosplayers, furries, LARPers. I'm going to get shit for, like, just lumping them all together like that. I'm going to piss off, like, one of the three at any given time.
Don't send hate mail. Don't send hate mail.
Actually, you know, we still haven't gotten any hate mail in a long time.
There was that one guy with the vaguely insulting letter about geek community.
Yeah, but that wasn't a hate mail. That was I just happen to have an opinion that doesn't match yours, and it was an opinion that really pissed you off, but it wasn't a hate letter.
Eh. I know. Well, maybe it's just...
And they're really nice about it afterwards, remember?
Yeah. Everybody likes us. Nobody hates us.
I'm sure I could find some people who could hate your living guts if you really want it, but why?
Well, I don't want to pay for it, then it doesn't count.
I wouldn't be feeling it.
Alright, so George, what don't you like that the geek community at large just absolutely loves?
Oh, oof.
Or do you want us to get back to you on that?
Yeah, why don't we stay on the stuff that we like that goes against the grain before we get to the stuff that we don't like.
All right, well, let's move on to you, Kevin. We'll give George some time to formulate his response.
All right, well, I would like to say that, and this is kind of a little bit more specific example, and we've talked about this a little bit on Deconstructing Moya, and Noel's going to start seething with rage when I mention this, but Trekkie Girl's been really getting me into Lex, and I know that a lot of people dismiss Lex out of hand. Lex was a show that was on the Sci-Fi Channel around the same time as Farscape, and it had similar concepts, similar kind of an execution, but it was a lot more outwardly juvenile. And, I mean, it was a science fiction show that took place aboard a giant bug. A giant dragonfly was the ship, and pretty much the entire cast was all out to get laid. And that's what the outward initial appearance was, and a lot of people dismissed it outright because of that. And Trekkie Girl's a huge fan of it because she sees the storyline underneath and the really just world building, just the lore rich writing and everything, and how even the most base of the concepts in the episode are indicative of a more baser kind of the series is about consumption, is what she says, and the need for that. When you see somebody, they're either greedy or they're hungry or they're horny or everything. Everything's about and that's one of
oftentimes all at once.
Oftentimes all at once, and like a lot of people can't see beyond that. But she's been showing me a few episodes. I missed it when it was on first run. She's been showing me a few episodes, and when we have more time, we're gonna hopefully go through more of the seasons and really get the story arcs down, because there's a lot that I really want to see and I really want to get into. So.
Well, I briefly remember it being on the Sci-Fi channel back when it was actually Sci-Fi and not, I don't know, syphilis.
It's pronounced the same way for some reason, but yeah.
Do they have wrestling on now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gee, I don't...
See, when I first heard of the Sci-Fi channel, it was a premium channel, and my mom loved it because she could watch the Time Tunnel.
I watched it for MST.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That and the Sci-Fi original movie.
Oh, pretty much the only thing that Ron Perlman can do these days.
it's like theatrical release, direct-to-video, sci-fi,
original movie.
That's the hierarchy.
And pretty much, yeah, that's the only jobs that Ron Perlman can get without being heavily made up, because he's a great actor, but he's got a face that no mother would love. So yeah, sci-fi original movie is starring Dean Cain and Ron Perlman.
It's Dean Cain.
But anyway, I do remember Lex... Getting back on topic. That was the show with the cloned redhead lesbian?
Yes.
Hello.
Okay.
And the joke, the running joke was that she was a virgin.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know if she was a virgin, but she just couldn't get... She was a virgin. She couldn't.
And the dead guy with the hair.
The dead assassin. And the head of the robot that was in love with Zev, the redheaded love slave, who was a virgin.
Did you say virgin?
Virgin.
She was a virgin. She was a virgin and a vegan.
No, not anymore. They changed the astrological signs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
So she was a virgin, and now
It only matters if you're born last years anyway. So.
Well,
Did you see the internet explode over that? Like,
well,
what
I think Tessa won the internet. Tessa won the internet when with her response. She said, "You know, people are forgetting who the real victim of this is, and that's Weird Al Yankovic, because his horoscope song will never ever be played again."
That was the greatest win that ever win. I thought that was.
So good job, Tessa.
Except it's Weird Al. You know he's going to be modifying the song and releasing it on his next album. Except he has to do it every couple of years, because that's how often this keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly thought that the whole horoscope thing... I heard there was a bigger kerfuffle about, you know, Pluto not being a planet anymore.
Pluto is a planet!
Ow! I need that ear!
Pluto is a planet.
Yes, Pluto's a planet. Can you, you know, planet your Pluto much quieter? I love you, Kevin. So, is it my turn?
Yeah, I think, yeah, go ahead.
Stuff I like that nobody else likes. Little things. There's more stuff that I don't like that everybody else loves, to be perfectly honest with you. But the stuff that I like, that I get shit for just all the way around. I love hair metal. Unapologetically, you know, the more hairspray, the better. I love
the more poison.
Poison.
Yeah, you huge Poison fan is what you are.
Needs more Poison. I before I moved down here in 2008, they were playing with Dokken as their opener.
This is where you start playing Dream Warriors.
Yes. And I would have given your left nut to go see it. It was
Well, she already gave away her kidneys. Twice, I think.
Gave away my gallbladder. don't know if that counts. They wouldn't let me keep it. I was very upset.
Yeah, you wanted, like, to give it to a friend of yours because then he would have
a piece, like,
of you wherever he could go.
Biohazard, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it was in my body, biohazarding for all it was worth. You're saying I can't have it in a cool jar and name it Bob? I was going to say George, and then I'm like, all right.
Love it and squeeze it and call it George.
Yeah, he went that away.
Aside from hair metal, which I get shit for, I love internet memes that are long past their expiration dates. It's peanut butter jelly time! Peanut butter
jelly time! Peanut butter jelly time! As evidenced by episode 15.
Kevin.
Hmm?
Kevin.
Yes?
What does it mean?
Yeah, and I just want to touch upon that. You also love things that you love thinking that just quoting something makes it funny.
It is, because it's just reminding me of how funny the whole thing is. I want to get a Double Raven t-shirt.
But the thing about pop culture references being humor is that it has to be relevant to what you're talking about. You can't just go, oh, ha,
no,
ha,
I was,
ha,
no, 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 no.
Course.
I was giving you an example of the one that you just absolutely made a fail so bitterly divided on the Double Rainbow thing.
Uh-huh.
Noel understands. Noel gets it. And, yeah.
Will it make you feel better to know that I'm going to have Double Rainbow be in the reception playlist at my wedding?
If it was Double Rainbow, I'd respect you so much more.
Double Rainbow.
Wait, you are?
Yes, I'm going to put Double Rainbow. That's what I just said, that I'm going to put Double Rainbow in the reception playlist.
If your fiance didn't, like, take it personally, I would kiss you right now.
Okay.
But, I think the biggest thing I get crap for is it's kind of trendy right now to really, really hate on certain installments of certain RPGs ever since Spoonie started doing his riffing on Final Fantasies 8 and 10. It's like, all of a sudden the entire internet, just because it's like, it's Spoonie, I have an opinion. It's like everybody flocks to him, right? You know, it's like, just because you're famous doesn't mean you're right. And then I'm watching his reviews and I'm like, okay, yeah, he's got a point, he's got a point, he's got a point. But I love them anyway!
Mm-hmm. It's okay to admit something's bad and still love it.
I know, I know. It's sort of like, you know, I love our show and I love Kevin and hi. I have a Final Fantasy X tattoo and I fear the day that I meet Spoonie because I'm afraid he's going to see it and gnaw my arm off at the shoulder. Just in frothing rage.
Well, just, you know, hook yourself around Scarlet, then he can't do anything.
Don't encourage her. Look, dude, okay, this is your first time on the show. Please don't encourage Dana, because she's going to be insufferable for the next, like, forever.
Okay. I just thought I was handing out helpful advice. I didn't realize I was encouraging...
Private time?
Yeah, I'll be... Wait, I'm already in my bunk.
Don't want to know.
Hey, hey.
Hand check, please.
I've made my choice. And I'm sticking to it. No pun intended.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, I got slash-ficked, did I not?
You asked for it. That doesn't
count.
Yeah,
I know. Remember in episode 34 when we
right,
were...
Right, it doesn't count if you ask for it.
It exists, therefore it counts.
It does. Well, look... Nobody knows who I am, okay? But, yeah, I'm not going to link this in the show notes.
Please.
Just, you're welcome, Kevin. I knew you wouldn't want me to, but I am just going to say I've totally arrived on the internet because when Scarlet and I were kind of joking around at the end of episode 34, like, hey, there should be slash fiction about us. Somebody did it. And it was awesome. Really? Really?
We won't say
so,
who, but
anyway,
it was a listener who emailed in.
Huh? What? Sorry, still distracted. You know.
Yeah. All right. So, well, I think while Dana is trying to reboot, I think we should go back towards you, George. And what do you hate that geekdom as a whole would...
would crucify arrive, me?
Yeah, for yeah. saying that.
I was her mother.
It's a twofer.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out around the same time. Power Rangers.
Oh.
And Pokemon. That was my Saturday morning hell. I gave Power Rangers a shot. One shot.
But? Power Rangers.
Oh, I can't say anything because I stopped watching as soon as they killed Zordon off.
I stopped watching way before that when they started replacing the original cast members.
I stopped watching after the first episode.
Now, shame and I just, on you.
I
you
just
didn't get
finished...
to Tommy.
Oh, no. I heard all about Tommy. Because...
Let me guess. Sisters?
No. Just gay friends.
Ah, oh, even better.
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy.
Do you need some time alone?
Scarlet, look, Jason David Frank has just walked into the room. What are you doing here? Well, I'm in town for a convention. Hello,
Kevin, James. I'm so sorry.
You had better be. That's a, all right.
What was it that turned you off? I'm just confused.
Here's the weird thing. It came on right after Saved by the Bell, so the quality shouldn't have put me off immediately.
If well, anything,
wanna,
it was a
now
step
I
up.
Now I want to cross over all of a sudden. My mind is like fanficking. I'm going to have Screech be Billy.
Oh, God, don't silly Billy like that.
I'm doing it, Kevin.
You know there's going to be Photoshop of this pretty soon, don't you?
Jesse's Kimberly. What?
I would have thought, yeah, no. I would think...
I'm sitting back. I'm not being involved.
How
oh,
do
Kelly
I...
is Kimberly? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Kelly's Kimberly. And it's why am I even discussing... I. First of all, completely ripped off Voltron. That pissed me off.
Oh, so what?
Oh, I didn't want to see live-action
Voltron.
Voltron's
all lions!
If I could go ahead and be a little bit of the nitpicker here, just...
Yeah,
sake of argument, Super Sentai has been going on in Japan since the 1960s. Voltron came after that. 60s.
Really?
I think... It might have been 70s, but it's been a very long time. Voltron came after that.
Stop bringing your logic into my hate.
And I think Voltron was just a cartoon, wasn't it? This is...
Yes, it was an awesome cartoon with great merchandise, and I have a lot of fond childhood memories of it, and an awesome kick-ass theme song.
Yes, I will agree with you there.
I don't know the theme song of Voltron. I should look that up.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Wow, this would be a really good point to edit in the theme song to Voltron. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe. A mighty robot, loved by good, feared by evil.
And Pokemon, Look, I played Magic.
Adam and Tessa are gonna like...
Yeah, I know. But I couldn't get into it. The cartoon made no sense to me. Whatsoever. I tried. I gave it a fair shot. But...
It doesn't get good until the 200th episode. You gotta stick it out. Hey, random curiosity, if I can just do a real quick roundtable, what does everybody think about that policy in nerddom where it's like, it doesn't get good until, like, you know, 10 hours in or 2 episodes in or whatever? Do you think that's, like, a fair shake, or should just something just be
I think it's a case-by-case basis. I mean, to say that somebody should stick it out that long if they're not a fan is a big deal, and I will say that... people who really don't like Dollhouse are justified in saying what they're saying about it. I will say, yes, we stuck it out because we're big fans and we got to the awesome stuff. But people, just normal people, should be able to be hooked from the very beginning, or at least be interested from the very beginning, instead of having to suffer through things to be fans. I'm gonna actually go ahead and tie this to something even more recently, when I was going through the Dresden Files books, and the first two books were really hard to get through. I stuck it out because I was really interested in the concept and I really wanted to see where it was going, and thankfully the writing style did get better. But I'm not going to force anybody, for just throwing a name out there, Trekkie Girl, I'm not going to force her to read the first two books, because she tried picking them up and couldn't get through them. She didn't.
This
she
is
wasn't
for Sandra Hill,
in.
Bitch!
No, I'm not going to do that.
Made me read horrible metaphors for charity.
Hey, you know, I asked her to. But the point is that I'm not going to force her to get through the slow stuff to get to the awesome stuff if she has no interest in it. It should hook her from the beginning, and if it doesn't, then she has no obligation to go any further.
See, look at how long it took me to get into Firefly, because the only episode I ever saw was the pilot, and let's be fair, that's pretty boring.
See, I like the pilot.
As do I.
So, it's more, I said give it another chance, because you said you didn't get through the pilot, because there was
three chances, because I just couldn't follow it.
Well, you said there was other extenuating circumstances surrounding that, such as D&D, so I said give it another shot that way, but I wasn't going to say, oh, wait and see, it'll get good.
Yeah, congratulations, you've got me into Firefly and Dungeons & Dragons, just, you know, through just mild prodding. You didn't push, but you had an electrified cattle prod.
You can now wear your brown coat over your chainmail.
I can't. That.
That would be awesome.
Crossover fic.
As far as trying to, I don't know how you put it, push something on him just by saying it gets better. To me, that's one of the worst things you can do to anybody, any prospective new fan of anything. There are so many things that I've had shoved down my throat over and over and over again. And there's a lot of what Kevin and Dan have said. I mean, sometimes it is a case-by-case basis. Firefly, I would argue that the first two episodes are awesome. And after that, they kind of go up and down in quality. Janestown being the best.
Okay, good. I was worried about where you're gonna go with that. Okay.
Shindig's what hooked me. Shindig made me like I'm watching every episode.
Yeah. Shindig was good.
I hated Shindig.
Nerd fight.
But I've always been of the opinion if you're gonna hook somebody, almost always never is it a good idea to start them out at the beginning. Hit them with something that, you know, A, they might like, and B, you know, tells them everything they need to know, and C, is utterly awesome.
The problem is sometimes you can't do that because you're dropped smack in the middle of the storyline. Nobody has any context for anything.
Which is why it's a case-by-case basis.
However, I have a friend who was just inordinately in hate with Buffy. Never figured out why. But some years later, I was talking to him, found out that he started watching the entire series because of Once More with Feeling.
And he couldn't stand that it wasn't anything like that one episode he'd seen.
No, he loves the show now.
Oh,
he
okay.
He reads the comics. What do you know?
Oh, well, that was actually, that's the tactic that Trekkie Girl takes, is that she'll, when she's trying to show somebody something new, she won't start with the beginning. She'll start with, like, she'll go and pick and choose, like, the really good stuff and get you hooked first, and then have you go from the very beginning. Like, and I turned the tables on her. She had no interest in watching Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, well, look.
What'd you give her?
I'm not going to force you into do anything. I'm not going to make you choose between not being a Buffy fan and dating me.
I'm just going to have Buffy on, and we'll see what happens between you two.
No, I said, here is my favorite character. This is my absolute favorite character of the entire series, and I want to show you the episode why. So I showed her the Zeppo.
I knew it. I knew it.
And
I
she's interested in watching the occasional episode with me now.
So random question. As a huge, huge, huge Xander fan.
Mm-hmm.
Minor spoiler for the comics in 3, 2. How do you feel about him fucking Dawn?
I still haven't caught up to that point, but it still squicks me out every time you tell me about it, so I don't know what the context is.
He started dating Dawn. That was the context.
The other overreaching context, so I need to catch up to that. But just in general, the general prospect, that's kind of squeaky.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's like the one misstep I think they took in season 8 is like, wow.
Really? That's the one you're going with?
Yeah, it is. I am so on. I don't care how little. I had Lewis making fun of me about, like, oh, you mean that series where they had Buffy and Angel shag to make a universe? I'm like, shut up. It made sense at the time. I know it's silly and ridiculous and dumb, and I am not spoiling at all who gets killed. I know the comic's been out for about a month and a half now. I ain't saying a goddamn word, but let me tell you, I was furious. And it still hasn't quite sunk in yet because I haven't seen the actual actor or actress, being very vague, actually do the acting. And so it doesn't feel real to me that this character is dead, but boy, is it going to hit me one of these days, and I'm just not...
It's happy. Not real to you, damn it.
No, it's real and it happened, but it just doesn't have the visceral impact if it had happened on the show.
Yeah, not nearly as, say, A Hole in the World.
Oh, good lord.
So...
Are you reading the new Illyria series that's out from IDW?
I have no money.
Neither do I.
I need to catch up when, and yes, this is, you're going to hate me for saying this, I need to catch up when I can pick stuff up in trades, and I've been falling behind in that even
now. That's fine. So. You know what? I'll be seeing you in March. Maybe I'll bring them along.
Okay. I haven't seen anything beyond Vampire Cat.
Beyond what? Oh, wow. Oh, Kev, honey, I'm bringing all my issues with me.
So.
You'll have fun. Anyway.
That brings that to me, which I wasn't actually anticipating this aspect of the conversation. I still haven't come up with one yet, because I'm honestly willing to give a lot of things a go. You know what? No, I do have something, and I'm going to get so much shit from people, but it took me forever, and... when I had time to do it, not like it's I'm not saying like it's not like right now where it's taking me forever to get through the Illenium, which I'm loving. It's just I don't have time for it. It took me forever because I couldn't slog through it to read the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, good lord, me too.
Took me forever to get through that. I mean, and the first book was good. Fellowship of the Ring was fantastic, and about half of Return of the King was great. I will not touch the Two Towers ever again. I am so glad that they made it interesting in the movie, because it's got interesting stuff, but oh dear God, you can't read that shit.
Here's the thing about Papa Tolkien. You gotta respect Papa Tolkien, okay? You have to.
I respect Papa Tolkien.
He is really fucking hard to read. I read The Hobbit. Okay, don't get me wrong. I have a copy of The Hobbit. When it came to Lord of the Rings, I kept opening it up. And just, I mean, I've read like 700-page novels. This is not a big deal for me. I plow through
Harry Potter. Shit, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit...
700-page novels. I'm just going for the base thing.
Papa Tolkien has an issue with pacing.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Two Towers was. I'm so glad they fixed that in the movie.
That's... Yeah, I think when it comes right down to it is he needs William Goldman to rewrite his books.
It's, yeah, you know, you got those 40 pages of packing and unpacking and packing and unpacking and packing and unpacking.
Bed goes up, bed goes down, bed goes up, bed goes down, bed goes up, bed goes down.
Sounds like the diary of my last move.
Your last move?
No. Yeah, Dana's last move. Evacuating, unevacuating, evacuating, unevacuating.
Yeah, you know, I come to think he needs the Princess Bride treatment.
Which he got in the form of the movie.
Yeah, I know, but I'd like to read the books. Just cut out the boring parts.
Or at least, you know, Cliff Notes that part. Seriously, Fellowship of the Ring was fine to read through. Pacing of that was fine. When
Has
it hit two
here
towers.
Ever been Silmarillion? Silmarillion?
I am terrified of picking up that book because I heard it's even worse.
I heard
the story's really
index.
Good. Yeah, it's basically an appendix with a story.
And you know what? You know what appendixes are? Or appendices?
Stuff
They're
that you don't have
necessary.
Anymore?
Necessary. They're superfluous. Humans don't need them. If you're writing a book that you need, you know, well, I don't want to say footnotes with respect to Terry Pratchett.
No, because then you make him humorous. But if you need, yeah.
if you need
citations,
fantasy novel, I'm looking at you, Steve.
Genealogies, Dunn. Yeah, genealogies. Yeah. Who needs genealogies in books? And I'm getting glared at by Trekkie Girl for that. But
Lair, all she wants. I agree with you. Yeah, I'm sure there are some parts that the actual fans are going to go like, nitpicking, you know. I think Cleo covered it pretty well in Movies in 15 Minutes, the book. Buy it now. Amazon.co.uk by Cleo Lynn Jones. PR. Anyway. Yeah, even the movies I've only ever seen once in theaters, and I own the DVDs. That shit's hard to sit through. That's a commitment. That's, you know, like, you know.
That's a good day if your life wasted.
Yeah, I know. Well, not wasted, but it's.
Oh, I'd say wasted.
No, that's.
Oh, is it back to your turn yet? Okay. And also, I just want to mention Watership Down. That was, and I'm gonna get shit for this too. Watership Down was fun. And then the book ended, and there was still half the book left.
Ooh.
And then it picked back up again. I mean, granted, it picked the book up, the book picked up, but the book ended. And then it was like three chapters of nothing. And then, you know, it got interesting again. So that really definitely pacing problems there. So.
Now, when we say pacing problems, or when you say pacing problems, are we talking like maybe chapter? Because my idea of pacing problems is probably totally different from what you and Dana think, because I've seen TNA programming.
My heart goes out to you.
Yeah.
No, what I mean by pacing problems is that because a normal story is supposed to start out slow when you have a little bit of exposition going on, but enough interesting things happen to get you into it, and then it keeps, you know, it ramps up and ramps up and towards the climax, and then, I mean, you have the traditional bell curve of narrative flow.
Now, really, because I like the in medias res, I'm totally mispronouncing that Latin, but when you drop somebody in the middle of the action and then there's backstory afterwards, I prefer that method of storytelling.
Well, I mean, no, that's good too. But I mean, the overall the tone of the book, like, I mean, the bell curve doesn't have to start at the bottom, but it still it ramps up towards the climax, and then it you have the resolution, and it's a defined flow. And even when people play around with how the flow is, as long as they have the pacing right and it keeps you interested and keeps you engaged with exactly what they're doing, that's proper. Terry Pratchett, I think the best he's ever done with pacing were Thud and the two Moist Von Lipwig books. And there are some books that he had really horrible pacing with, and those are some of his later ones. But
have you mentioned your connection to Moist Von Lipwig yet, or are we going to?
Not
get to
yet,
that
but I'm going to go ahead and do that in the closing stuff because I have actually been asked by Emily to go ahead and do a little bit on that.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. As far as Pratchett, ever since I read Guards, Guards, that was moving a little fast for me, and I had mentioned in an earlier episode that it kind of went a little fast for me. I've adapted, and I've gotten through Shit What Came Right Before Feet of Clay, Don't Want to Sound Like an Idiot on the Air.
Men at Arms.
Now. Men at Arms. That's okay. That one was still a little, you know, weird for me. But I am about 10 pages to the end of Feet of Clay right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my favorite one so far. I'm really enjoying it.
The stuff in the middle towards the end of his current range of books have, like, the best pacing ever. He's on top of everything. He's really quick. It's really tight with the narrative.
Very slowly, very gently. This is my first time.
Right.
And,
so you're getting to the good part of where he's really great with his writing, and then it's been tapering off lately. Emily's going to kill me for saying this, but his last two books have been really having the pacing problems.
For right now, I'm just reading the Night Watch series. I'll be doing Jingo next.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really enjoying Feet of Clay. I think that's my favorite so far.
When you get to Night Watch, that is my absolute favorite. I know we're tangenting here, but that's my favorite of the City Watch books. And that is the perfect example of his City Watch writing. That's like the best he's ever done. So when you get to that, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you think of it.
We're gonna change our name to Made of Tangents.
Yeah.
Well,
it used to be Made of Restraining Orders.
When I say that thing, I think of those tanagrams we used to play with in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Little shapes. Okay. Anyway, too much caffeine, as you were.
I was talking about Watership Down and how the story was great.
Once in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's mice involved. That's about it.
No, there are no. Well, there may be, like, one mouse involved. You may be thinking of Secret of Nim.
No. I know Secret of Nim. Wasn't there a mouse in Watership Down, or were there bunnies?
It was rabbits.
Rabbits. No. Ah, yes, because my friend Brita had an issue with it. Okay.
But it was a great story, but it ended in the middle of the book, and there was still half a book left. So that's what that really turns me off of some books, is if I can't get through how it's paced. So anyway, but yeah, those were my things that I'm going to get a lot of crap from listeners about not liking. So,
but we have our reasons. So, George, I gotta ask, what do you think is the main reasoning behind, like, why nerds get so adamantly angry about people? You would think that with our background of getting picked on for stuff that we do and don't like, why do you think our immediate reaction is to, you know, sit there, like, pointing at Charlie the Unicorn going, "Shun! Shun!"
You know, I've got a response to this, but I'm going to let George go first.
Yeah,
because
I'm curious.
He's the guest. But I do have actually a pretty good theory about that.
All right.
There's a couple different thoughts. One, it's partially due to almost a alpha male response that a lot of geeks don't tend to get when they're discovering their passions for stuff that's not very popular. Another thing, it might be just, I don't know, I'm still working on that thought. Kevin, why don't you share
your... I have a very, very, very good idea of why I think this is the case, and it all touches back on pretty much everything we've been talking about, why geeks are awesome and why we attach ourselves to certain fandoms, and it's basically the coming through to the other side of that. I mean, take a look at you and I, Dana.
Well, you're all the way in Illinois. It's going to take me a while.
I'm going to give a very specific example. We love Buffy. We have a huge love for the Buffy universe and the way the writing is and the characters and everything.
I'm afraid you're going to accidentally have sex with Joss Whedon.
Oh, it's going to be no accident. But no, this is something that we've just clicked with, like, from the very beginning, and we've talked at length about this on many, many different episodes, and we'll talk at length about it for many episodes more. But the fact of the matter is that this is something that resonates so strongly with us that will, sometimes to the exclusions of other things, we'll sit down and watch an episode of Buffy that we've seen many, many times before, because it's just, you know, it brings back so many good memories. And to when somebody says that is the, and you love this so much, and when somebody tells you, oh, this show, this book, this something is so horrible, I don't understand why anybody loves that, and here you are, and you've connected so much with it that it's become almost an obsession with you.
I think where you're going with this is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we've imprinted so much, apologies to, you know, werewolves. It's become a part of us, and when you would, you know, when you attack, you know, for example, Buffy, it hurts us.
Mm-hmm. And I like to think that you and I tend to be a little, a little bit more mature about that. And if somebody says they don't like Buffy,
oh God, you were serious.
I'm being serious here. If somebody just says, "Oh, we don't like Buffy," I mean, yeah, we're like, well, but it's awesome, but we're not going to
get somebody who says Buffy sucks, it's gay, and totally, you know, if you like it, you suck and you're gay.
And that's the case. I mean, then I know, okay. I fully well will get a little bit hostile in that situation, and you'll really get hostile in that situation because it strikes a chord with us, and it has that resonance, and that's why there's such a visceral reaction when people say, oh, this thing that you like, it's stupid.
Because feel stupid. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of where my thought.
Well, I wouldn't even say that, because then that makes you feel stupid. It's more just because it's such a huge part of what we are that we'll rise up as one to defend it.
Plus, do you know what? Do you know what I think it touches back on? It just touches back on people making fun of us for the stuff that we like, and it touches that universal geek nerve. It's in our DNA to feel hurt and somewhat threatened.
It's like, I'll agree with that. It's we've had this our entire life, and now there's you.
Yeah, and now when people who are our own and should know better do this to us, then it's like, you know, what the hell? Am I safe nowhere?
It's almost a betrayal, almost.
Yeah. It's almost like people are people.
With different opinions and everything?
Yeah, who would have thought?
What nonsense is this?
By the way, I'd just like to point out, it almost universal, not completely universal. Some of us were just ghosts in high school.
Well, 9 times out of 10.
9 times out of 10, you're absolutely right. But there are those like me who just kind of drifted through, didn't get made fun of, didn't make fun of anybody.
You were a fortunate man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, ends up living in Mississippi. Hoorah.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you enjoying
being above you? It's awesome.
That's what I keep hearing. That's what I keep hearing.
Moving on.
Hi. Oh, hi, Kevin. I love doing that to him.
Yes, we know.
Why would you ever have concerns about my manners at your wedding?
Exactly.
I love you.
And you get so offended for me to even think that.
Honestly. My reputation's been maligned. So, you got anything else you want to talk about, George? Or you want to hit up the fail mail?
I think we've covered quite a lot of ground today. So
thank you so much. This was a really fun topic.
That was a really good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't help but notice that Dana missed her things to rant about, but
oh, wait. What things to rant about? The stuff that I don't
The things
like?
That you don't well, we already know Harry Potter is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Okay, I'll do this really, really quick.
So don't talk about Harry Potter, because we know this ad nauseum. So
yeah, but you don't know why.
You know what? You know, I never found out why. That's a good point.
because when it first came out, I was writing fantasy novels, and I wanted to be the first really big young adult fantasy author, and it never panned out, and so it was professional jealousy. Here's the thing. When it comes to stuff that I hate that everybody else likes, it's not that I hate them. It's just that I have zero interest whatsoever. I'm not really interested in Doctor Who. I'm not really interested in Harry Potter. It's just, and it's not that, like, I won't give them a chance. I still have Blink somewhere on my hard drive, but it's just, I don't feel like it, you know?
But then you get the whole visceral reaction of people saying, well, why not? What's wrong with you?
Because I have better things to do with my time that I know for a fact I'll enjoy.
And that's why you just go on and say that you hate it.
Yeah, it's just easier to explain.
Okay.
Because then I get the people, you know, handing out pamphlets to me, you know.
Yeah, the proselytization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get that every time, I say that I use Internet Explorer. And it's like, look, okay, yeah, like, you know, if I wanted to be proselytized that.
Interest.
Yeah, if I wanted to be proselytized that, I'd go to church. So,
but you're going to miss the awesomeness and the wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
It's not. All right.
Spoonie does have a point on that one.
Eventually, someday, one of these days, I will honestly watch an episode of Doctor Who. The problem is I'm home by myself a lot, and there's other stuff I want to be doing, and it's not much fun without other people who enjoy it. So I'm thinking, Kev, when I'm up there in March, we'll sit down and we'll watch Blink, or we'll watch The Doctor Dances, or what's the first
Empty Child.
The Empty Child.
Okay.
I'll go so
I'll
far as to
that.
Watch those three with you, because I have those, and we'll check them out.
Well, I have Netflix, so, and they're on that, so we
It's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
You know, yeah, I've got it too. I just never went looking for it.
Yeah, it's on the instant queue. All the new stuff except for the fifth season, because it just came out on DVD and it might be.
Yeah, it's like I'm home by myself a lot. I got other shit I want to do. I got computer games I want to play. I got I just got a new PlayStation 3. There's games I want to play on that. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to read Terry Pratchett. There's stuff there. I play a shitload of video games. When I have free time, that's probably what I'm doing, and I have nothing but free time, so. You know, that's more my thing. I don't have a real big attention span for television, unless it's Joss Whedon. So, that's why. It's not a hate thing. It's I have better things to do with my time.
I will agree with you that Doctor Who is way more fun when you're in a group of people who enjoy the show as well. Most things are way more fun when you're in a group of people. We mentioned this when we were talking about Repo.
You have no idea, Kevin. You have no idea.
Thank you. But we mentioned this when we were talking about Repo, and when I first saw Repo, it was the most awesome thing ever. And when I saw it the second time, it was very lackluster, and that's what we were talking about on Made of Fail, is that it was kind of lackluster. And I sat down and I was wondering why that was the case if I loved it so much the first time, and I realized it's because I was watching it with Steve. Mm-hmm. And Steve is awesome, and watching things with somebody who not only really gets into stuff, but is just an awesome person in general, makes whatever you're watching that much more awesome in general.
Do you remember the dark ages before there was a Made of Fail? Like, the thing that we would do hanging out would be to watch bad movies together.
And we continued doing
and
that
Machine
all
Girl.
Until you moved away.
Not my fault. Nice down here. But Machine Girl was so much more fun in a group. Like, I don't watch
huge
for myself.
Group.
Oh, God. It was the best thing ever.
We were riffing and we were doing that whole stuff, and that was great. And Carl had that really great one, Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness. I forgot all about that. That was hilarious.
And that was amazing. Yeah. That's why we keep saying in every episode that
remember
being
when we saw
geek...
Beowulf?
Oh God, I thought we were going to get kicked out of the theater.
It's like it didn't measure up to us.
Yeah, I know. we've mentioned this in previous episodes, is that being a geek really is such a social event activity that it's. I mean, you can be a geek by yourself, but it's really missing that geeking out moment, you know.
Yeah, that's why you should come to the convention with me, Kevin.
We're going to be doing stuff outside of the convention. I'm not good groups of people.
Trust me, try it. You might like it.
But you know what I am going to do? I was going to save this for the end of the show, but it's come up in conversation now. I am going to be attending the 2011 North American Discworld Convention in Madison, Wisconsin, and I am going to be performing a little bit in that, because they have asked me to be for a couple different events at the Discworld Convention. Moist von Lipwig.
You should show up slightly damp.
I could show up slightly damp, but no, it's there's going to be and
no Dana signal.
I'm not going to say what is in the works at the moment, because one, it's a surprise, and two, it's not entirely finalized yet. But there's going to be an event which I'm going to be Moist von Lipwig for the duration of, and there may be additional instances where I'll still be in character. And for the rest of it, it's just going to be awesome. Emily actually has asked us, and we of course are going to oblige, because Emily is awesome and this is awesome, to just remind everybody that tickets are still on sale for the North American Discworld Convention. We do have information on that. It's going to be during the second week of July, July 8th through the 11th, in Madison, Wisconsin, at the Madison Concourse Hotel at nadwcon.org. And yes, Terry Pratchett is going to be there.
You're going to meet Terry Pratchett?
Terry Pratchett's going to be there.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a copy of Feet of Clay, give it to you, and have him autograph it.
I will definitely do that for you. In fact, I'm going to go even further and say that at the last convention last year over in the UK that Emily attended and did a whole bunch of interviews for, she asked him my question about whether Carrot has a beard. And he was stumped. He didn't know, and he's going to put the information... He said that if he's going to address it, it's going to be in the next City Watch book. He's going to address it, and he is thinking about it now specifically because I asked that question.
Can I wager a guess? As somebody raised by dwarves, he probably would have been encouraged to grow a semblance of a beard.
And that was my point, because when he first joined the Night Watch in Guard's Garage, he's 16 years old. No 16-year-old has a great beard, and all the pictures that all the drawings of him that have been, you know, all the official artwork, that's from that era. He's in his 30s now, by maybe even his upper 30s now. I would imagine he has a beard. So
this is
anyway.
A thing to you. This is hysterical. Like,
this
just,
is a thing. And the thing is, he didn't
with
know.
Terry Pratchett about it.
No. This isn't me arguing. Terry Pratchett
no, not,
didn't
like,
know.
You
so
had
he's going
to
figure
you
it out.
You had to go to, like, Wizards of the Coast about this. That's awesome. Oh, Kev. You fixate so much on whether or not one character has a beard that you went straight up to the author.
You know what? If anybody's going to know, he is. So.
Kevin?
And he didn't.
I say this with all my heart, and I mean it. I love you.
It's a valid question. Anyway, so...
let's do the fail mail.
Rock on.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
All right. I've got an email here from Sarah. Sarah says, "Cheers to all of you at Made of Fail. I am setting off on an adventure." By the second week of January, which is actually right now, as we're recording this episode, I will have moved to Guatemala, not to return until the summer. I will have no TV in the small town where I'm staying, no phone, and no computer. And that means no Made of Fail. Five months without this podcast should not be such a tragedy, but it is. You guys are so funny and brilliant, and I look forward to each and every podcast. I don't want to get chicken soup on you, but you should all know that I will truly miss listening to you while in Guatemala. While advising me on how to avoid rabies, my doctor told me not to pet any dogs, however cute, and I quote, "If the monkey wants your banana, give him your banana." This is actual advice from a doctor.
Dana Signal.
I'm unbearably excited about my trip, but I can't escape the slight melancholy of knowing that there will be no Made of Fail, no questionable content, and also no Clear Linda Jones. Have a wonderful 5 or 6 shows, and I can't wait to hear them when I'm back in civilization. All my love and fandom, Sarah, previously of the frigid north, soon to be riddled with Central American stomach terrors, but thrilled just the same.
Kev?
Mm-hmm?
I've got it. Episode 38, If the Monkey Wants Your Banana.
Excellent.
Have to.
We're doing it.
This is not a no.
All right, Sarah. When you get back, you're gonna be greatly surprised at the title of this episode.
As were we.
Best fucking thing ever.
Okay, we're doing that.
It's the new EP from Lyra and the Shelfians.
If the monkey wants your banana.
All right, I got one here from Sophie, and can I just say, when I read this, I cried actual like womanly tears, like I had an emotion. So, yeah. So I had a soul. From Sophie, it says, long story short, in the UK, some of us don't go back to school until Wednesday the 5th. I can't remember when this was sent. Oh, this was sent on January 4th. Duh, Dana. Try reading the fucking timestamp. Today, I've been at home alone with the dog as my mom went in the hospital for her first chemo treatment for breast cancer. I've spent the whole day listening to the podcasts and laughing so much. I didn't think I was going to laugh at all today. But you guys have kept my mind off things and kept me up. I just wanted to say thanks for that. And I'm going to go back and listen to all of them through the next 18 weeks to keep myself up through my GCSE exams and mom's condition. Also, special thanks to Kevin's chuckle, which may be the sexiest thing I've ever heard.
You are such a sweet liar.
Low standards. You guys made my day, Sophie. Wow.
I do want to let you know, my mother has also been through breast cancer, and she was very lucky in that it was caught really, really early, and treatments will go, and they'll be stressful, but there will be progress made, and we will be, in fact, I'm just going to go ahead and propose this. Dana, I'm sure you probably won't have an issue with this.
I'm already married.
My mother every year helps out at the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer here in Chicago, and she walks every 5 years. And when they're taking donations for that, I think it would be great. We're going to go ahead and put up a link. In fact, we should probably just do that, a permanent link in the sidebar as donate to the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. They do many of the major cities in America here. The second one is always Chicago. They start out in Houston, they go to Chicago, and they go elsewhere throughout North America from there. I'm not sure what other organizations do that in the United Kingdom, but I'm sure we could research that and find something out there. But This has been a subject close to everybody here at Made It Fail as well.
Just because the charity is based in the U.S. doesn't mean that the money doesn't go like...
No, exactly.
It's still going to research ways to beat breast cancer. It's not like we're going to keep it for ourselves.
But also, just Sophie, just remember, all of us here are thinking of you, and we give our best wishes to your mother.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And please write us back, you know, as stuff progresses, if you want to talk about it. We really, really want to know how she's doing, and we wish her the best. And you know, like I said, Kevin's got experience with this, so if you need to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about, I'm sure he can, you know, get some quotes from his mom or something like that to help your mom.
So just stay strong. Everything will be okay. All will be well.
All will be well. Okay.
All right.
So we're getting on. I think this is kind of, sort of, the end, my friend.
Wrapping up on episode 35 of Made of Fail. Does anybody have
anything
else?
No, it's not. 35? How
38
are you
is what I meant. 38 yeah. is there what you I meant go. To say.
What the hell, Kevin?
Hey, remember when
Sean!
I say that I...
Sean!
Remember when I say that I stutter, Dana?
You didn't stutter. You just failed epically.
Thank
a couple
you.
Things I wanted to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Made of Fail is going to have a very small presence at Wizard World New Orleans on January 29th and 30th.
By very small, we mean you.
I don't have the fuchsia very much anymore. But if you guys like Twitter, just go ahead and tweet made_of_fail. And let me know if you're attending, and I'll see what I can work out about, you know, saying hi, meeting you guys.
In fact, right now I'm going to go ahead and pull out, just make a post on the Made of Fail Twitter saying, respond to this if you're going to Wizard World.
Or upcoming conventions, because there's one more. March 18th through the 20th, fully 3/4 of us are going to be at C2E2, which is... I'm going to fail what this stands for. I think it's Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo.
That's it.
Sounds about right.
Feel free to flog me. And there's going to be a whole bunch of fans there. We're probably going to get together in a hotel and do some D&D stuff and watch some bad movies, and it's going to be great. We're going to be wandering around the con, some of us more than others, Kevin. Sadly, there will be no Adam. Sorry for fans of Team Adam. But, you know.
But I'll be there to take your
you
fandom for my own.
You'll be coming to Chicago with us?
I will be.
Awesome.
George, that's wonderful. I'll be happy to meet up with you. Kevin.
And you can see what an idiot who pays $500 to appear on a podcast looks like.
Well, we've got your Twitter icon of you stapling your,
yeah,
your button,
you
your prize button on
there?
Your head.
That's dedicated fandom. I'm not sure I won't.
Let's just say that you know, the scar is healed.
Okay.
No, well, it's just tape.
So yeah, C2E2. There's going to be Made of Fail people and fans, and I really got to talk to Tessa about T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
More pins, I'm sure, cards, that sort of thing. We'll find something. And it's going to be a really great time. Mostly like post actual convention stuff is when the fun and the party is going to start happening. I'll be there the evening of the 17th, and I think, Kevin, why don't you post a link in the Made of Fail Twitter, what hotel we suggest people stay at, and that way
because it's a smaller hotel, and if there we get too
want
many
the
people.
Yeah, it's not like all 400 of them are going to descend upon Chicago. Get real.
All right, so I'll say which hotel it is,
and maybe we can
see if we can just hang out in like the lobby and figure out where we want to go from there. I will say that for attendees 21 and over, there is nearby a blues bar, which is themed and patterned after the Blues Brothers movie. And they do have live music every Friday and Saturday night, and that's a lot of fun to go and just hang out at. We can make our way up there.
And I guarantee I'm going to be doing everything in my power to drag Kevin to find some sort of karaoke bar where you can all watch me sing horribly and watch Kevin sing a little less slightly horribly. And it'll be good times. Might have a DM or two there in case you want to roll some dice.
Bring your dice.
Bring your dice.
We'll have all this information on the website, possibly, but definitely the LiveJournal community. And we'll do both. We'll make a post on both and have all this information on a special. This is where we're going to be at C2E2.
We know Noel is going to be there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Tess
and I will be there because we live here.
Trekkie Girl's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying really hard to get my DM to show up, and I know for a fact one of the other players, well, who used to be in my group, is going to be there. And there might be a bit of cosplay here and there, depending on whether or not I can get my hands on a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a Dr. Insano there. Not saying who. But yeah, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a really great time. And I look forward to meeting everybody who's willing to show up and say hi to us and enjoy a really fun convention. Let's see. The very last thing I wanted to mention, I did say I got a PS3 over the holidays. My PSN ID is Queen Anthi, just like on my Twitter, QueenAnthai. Feel free to add me. I don't have any co-op games whatsoever other than X-Men the arcade game, but I will play with anybody who wants to do that. It is $10 on the PSN network, and I just totally said, like, automated ATM machine right there, whatever the word for that is. on the PS network. And it's
redundancy.
A lot of fun. Yeah, the department. Yeah, wow, Dana. Also, last thing, because we've been forgetting to do it for, like, the last 5 fucking episodes, and thank you for pointing it out, Devin. If you enjoyed this episode of Made a Fail, there are more. You can subscribe to us in iTunes. You can go to our website, which is madeoffail.net. Or you can email us at made_of_fail@yahoo.com.
How'd I do? We should probably record like an end cap like Noel did for his podcast, where again he completely, totally out professionalized us in his very first go.
And not hard to do. Next thing you know, he'll be getting money for it or something.
Yeah.
We'll start end capping next episode.
Forget
to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that. And then so this has been episode 38. Of Made a Fail. Thank you, George, for everything that you've done so far.
Thank you enough. Emily thanks you very, very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
And
she can't wait to listen to this episode as well. So.
Yeah, and you are just a stand-up guy, and I still think you're fucking insane for doing what you did.
But I hope it was worth it. I hope it definitely was worth it.
Auctions are still going on for her other at a community.
Yeah, there's still one more item.
Yeah. community.livejournal.com/forest house eyes. Lots of cool handmade geeky stuff going on there. There's more Terry Pratchett stories up for auction. You know, it's for a good cause and you get something cool out of it.
Exactly. So, anyway, just once again, thank you guys for doing this with me, and just hope you have a wonderful January.
A double rainbow January.
Have a great night. We're clear.
George, that was so much fun.
That was. Did we live up to your expectations?
No, I was horribly disappointed.
Oh, that lived up to our expectations.
Kevin gets that a lot.